It's always a privilege to be sharing the word with you. So, let me get all my things together. Hello, everybody. Glad all the Pantown Upper Highway people made it down through the closed freeway. I was like, oh, Hilton's hosting, and hopefully he remembers the freeway's closed. So today, I hope this is fine. Can everybody hear? I'm just going to carry on talking, and the wonderful Mark will be able to sort it out, I'm sure. If he doesn't, Mark, tell me, I'll use the handheld. But we're carrying on our series of fruitfulness, and I'm going to be sharing today, if you've got your Bibles with you, from Galatians 5. And quite an interesting portion of scripture. So Galatians was written by Paul, and he absolutely loved the Galatians. When you read the community in Galatians, when you read Galatians, you can just see how much he loved these people. He always spoke to them so beautifully. He just loved them. And what happens in Galatians is he realizes at the very beginning, he starts saying to them, don't get swayed. People are coming and obviously bringing in different doctrines. And he's just worried that they're going to get swayed by people bringing in different doctrines. So he just wants to remind them that their salvation hasn't come by works. It's come by faith. And he wants to remind them that they need to keep, there's only one gospel. And they mustn't worry about all these other gospels that they're hearing, all these other teachings that are coming in. They mustn't be swayed. They've been saved by faith, and they mustn't go back to the Old Testament works. So that's what happens when you just start reading at the beginning of Galatians. And then you go through to Galatians 5. It's only six books in the book of Galatians. And then at the end of Galatians 5, he talks about life by the Spirit. And most of you, if you've been a believer for any length of time, you would have heard of the fruit of the Spirit. And I have to admit, some of you, maybe you didn't, but I have to admit, I thought, oh, well, that's something you do at Sunday school and kids' ministry. I think you might have remembered, you know, the worksheet that the kids would have done in Kidsmen. Probably would have had a grape on it or different fruits, a banana or different fruit. And I thought, oh yeah, that's something the kids learn about in Kidsmen. But if you read that portion of scripture, Galatians 5 starts at verse 11 and it goes on to verse 26. It's an absolutely incredible portion of scripture. So I just wanted to read a little bit of it today, and it really encouraged me in my preparation, and I hope it encourages you today. I was amazed at where the worship went, and we were talking about Jesus reigning and moving into new parts of the inheritance God has for us and facing those Jerichos in our life. And when you read through the portion of scripture, you realize there's only one way you can do that. That's when you live by the Spirit. It's the only way we can face those giants in our lives and pull down those Jerichos. So today I hope I can help you and equip you and make you realize that part of our lives, living by the Spirit, has to be strong. Otherwise, we're never going to be able to walk into those things that God has for us in our lives. So if you've got your Bible, let's read that portion of scripture. In my Bible, it says, life by the Spirit. That's what the heading says. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. I've got that highlighted in my Bible. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. What a beautiful part of Scripture. Living by the Spirit and not living by the flesh, and then being in conflict with each other. Well, if you've been a Christian for 2 minutes, you will know that is the hardest thing to do. Living by the Spirit and our flesh being in conflict with each other. So my first slide is, I just want, let us have a little bit of a lesson in the difference between learning about fruits. So let's start with a little bit of a clarity there. There's gifts of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit are given for a purpose of building up the believers. This is a little bit like kids' ministry, okay? I'm just going to give you a little bit of a lesson, a little bit of a teacher in me coming out. So the gifts of the Spirit often end up getting more attention. Those are things that are often seen in the front. People are using the gifts of the Spirit, often very public gifts, things that are seen up in the front. But the fruit of the Spirit takes place, something that we end up having to die to ourselves every single day to use these things. Sometimes you might see a man or a woman operating in the gifts of the Spirit publicly, but they might walk out of the church and end up behaving quite badly and not operating in the fruit of the Spirit. And it's difficult sometimes to reconcile these things. And you think, how does that work? How come they operate so incredibly in the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit in their life is not really evident? How does that work? How come God lets that happen? I think that's because God will use the gifts of the Spirit because he wants to use it in a specific occasion, but the fruit of the Spirit is often something that has to be grown and grows inside everybody's life every single day. Gifts of the Holy Spirit often demonstrate the power of God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit demonstrates the character of God. Interesting, there's no S in the fruit of the Spirit. If you do a study on it, Google it, you will find quite different things. People will call it the fruits of the Spirit. It's not an S. It's, if I had a big bowl of fruit in front of me, people would say it's the fruits of the Spirit. It's not like that. It's not a grape, a banana, an apple, a peach. And you might look at that list of the fruits of the Spirit. Could you put up the next slide? All those beautiful fruits and say, oh, yeah, no, I like love. I'm quite patient and I'm kind. Oh, I struggle with self-control and maybe patience. So I'm just going to work on all the others. I hate to tell you, that's why I put an orange there. Because that for me was such a great picture. Fruit of a Spirit is like an orange. It's one fruit. It's not a fruit bowl where you get to say, oh, I actually don't like the grapes. You know, that self-control, not good at that. But I'm doing really well in all the others. So I must be doing okay. Actually, no. You don't get to take that segment of the orange out, unfortunately. You have to take the whole lot. What are you going to do with that orange? You can't just peel half of the orange and say, well, actually, I'm quite a joy. I can handle joy. I know what joy is. That's good. Quite kind. I love people, most people. quite good. Faithfulness, I'm faithful. Gentleness, sure, but patience, oh no, I'm not patient with everybody. Kids, if you have trying to do that, shine, I'm not patient, I'm not doing that. No, sorry, it's the whole orange. It's not the fruit bowl that you get to pick and choose what you want to do. And then this picture for me is a very great picture. Can you put up the next slide? This is what we're made up of, guys and girls. I had to use cartoon pictures because I started doing it with real people and it didn't go well. So this is us. We're made up of spirit man, soul man, and flesh man. Apparently Sherwin's, so Pierre told me he's got a great thing with toilet rolls. I'll have to get that story, Sherwin, one day. So the flesh man, I was also going to put a great picture of like a Torben up there, a good old muscle man, but then I thought you'd get confused when I was talking about flesh man. It's not that muscle man, guys. The flesh man obviously houses us, houses our soul man and our spirit man, and it's important that we look after our flesh man. Listen, anyone who's a little bit over the halfway mark of life knows how important it is to look after your flesh man. Look after your flesh man, eat well, exercise, do all of those things so you can look like Torben, but it's not, that's not the flesh man I'm talking about here. That part of the scripture in Galatians where it's talking about putting aside and in conflict with your flesh. It's not talking about this flesh. It's talking about that flesh that gets irritated when your rubbish doesn't get collected. That thing that rises up inside you. That thing. That's that flesh guy at the end there. You think he's very talking very nicely to whoever he's looking at. It's that flesh man. And that soul man. I'm so delighted over this last, I don't know, what is it, 10 years, that our soul man has come onto the fore of our lives and in society, and mental health is something we can talk about and discuss and pay attention to because it is such an important part of our lives, our emotions, how we feel. How's your soul man doing? It's important to make sure that your soul man is in a good place. Make sure your soul man is looking good. But the most important man inside us is our spirit man. And you know why I put a very skinny guy there? Because I worry that our soul men are skinny. I worry that they're these skinny little guys that we don't pay attention to. And actually, they're the most important person inside us. They're the ones who actually have to support all of us. And we don't feed them. Society will tell us it's more important to feed the flesh man on the outside. There is hundreds and thousands of videos and YouTubes and whatever you can find on how you must look after your flesh. And even your self-care soul, you can spend thousands of rand on that. But how much attention are you paying to your spirit man? Or does your spirit man, if you had to do a body scan, I bought a little app just for a week on a flower, it's a flower scanner. Sally will love me for that, and Elise, if she's here. So we were down the coast, and we were looking at some flowers, and we wanted to know what the flower was. We were going to propagate it, and it's this amazing app that you can put on front of a flower, and you scan the flower, and it does a little thing of the flower, and boy, does it tell you everything about the flower. It tells you where it's from. It tells you, you know, what country it's from. It tells you everything about the flower. But what was quite amazing is we scanned one flower, and it said, the other flower it scanned, it said, flower is healthy. It just told you how amazing this flower was. Then we scanned another little flower, and it said, this flower is not very healthy. And it said what was wrong with it. Its root system was wrong, its drainage was wrong, told us what we could give it to make it more healthy. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then when I was going over my notes this morning, I thought, sure, I wonder what would happen if we got a body scan. I wonder what would happen if they saw our spirit man. Oh, shame, this is a skinny little guy. He's not looking very good. Actually, very skinny. When did you last pay attention to your spirit man? Oh, I'm doing so well. I'm seeing people about my emotions. I'm seeing people. I'm on this fancy new diet. I'm eating organic. I'm vegan. I'm oat milking. I'm whatever. Great. But how's your spirit man doing? And then when we look at Galatians and we think of the fruit of the Spirit, we think, oh, that's fun. I'm like loving the grapes, the banana. No, sorry. How's the whole orange doing? Oh, not too great. So keep this little picture in mind while we're talking. In Galatians, it tells us, gives us a couple of tips on how we can feed and grow our spiritual man. So I hope they help you today. So one of the most amazing and encouraging things to know is that actually it's the Holy Spirit that helps us grow and produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And let's go back to that other slide. It's love, joy, peace, patience, some of the translations say forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To have a healthy tree, you've got to pull up some of the weeds that are choking the tree. So in Galatians 5, 24 to 26, it says, crucify the flesh with the passions and the desires. So if you know that there's some things that are actually suffocating your skinny little guy and making it worse, you need to pull up some of those weeds. So if the Holy Spirit is living inside you, you need to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you need to come and help me. My fruit is not growing well. How are you going to help me pull up some of those weeds? If the Holy Spirit is going to help you produce better fruit, you're going to have to tend that field where the fruit is going to grow. Ask the Holy Spirit. In one of the commentaries I read, it said, the Holy Spirit will help you get restless. Help you get restless. So if you're feeling restless in your spirit, it's sometimes not a bad thing. Help me get restless so that actually I'm realizing, actually, I'm restless for a reason. Okay, what is it, Lord? What are you making me restless for so that actually you can produce better fruit in my life? And the second way that the Holy Spirit does it is that he says we've got to keep in step with the Spirit in verse 25. And that's like a military army when you keep in step. Some of you may have seen military armies when they walk in step together. It's quite phenomenal to watch. For me, I love it when you watch a couple dancing. It is like poetry in motion. Some of you might have seen when we traveled, I took a few pictures of me walking behind Stan. All I saw was his butt and his backpack. That's not keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. You walk too fast. I say, I've got short legs, he's got long legs. Just help me. But sometimes I think that's what happens when we walk with the Holy Spirit. We lag behind. That's not keeping in step. Actually, we've got to be, so if you're feeling like, well, actually, maybe the Lord is prompting you. I loved one of the contributions this morning was about obedience. If you're wanting to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, it's a thing of obedience that you have to do. This scripture is quite formidable when we're talking about fruits. In Matthew 7, verse 16 to 20, it says, you will recognize them by their fruits. As a believer, that means that as unbelievers, they're going to look at your life and it's either going to draw them to Jesus or it's going to turn them away from Jesus. How does that make you feel? They look at your life and they're looking at your fruit. What are they going to think? I mean, that's kind of scary at times. Or maybe not. Maybe you think, sure, no, actually my fruit's great. They're going to definitely want to come to my gardener when they look at my fruit. What about this one? John 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's beautiful. Lord, I want to be your disciple so that I will bear much fruit. And then this Tim Keller quote is beautiful. You can put it on the screen. It says, the spirit-fueled development of Christ-like character is liberating. There's that word freedom again. Because it brings us closer to being the people we were designed to be. The people our spirit-renewed hearts want us to be. That's beautiful. That's the Holy Spirit completely producing the spirit that we need in us. So I'm just going to go through the fruits for us. We could literally spend a week going through every single one of the fruits. But I just want to spend a little bit of time going through the fruits. It's not comprehensive, as I said, but it encouraged me, and I hope it does encourage you as well. And then I found a little nickname for each of the fruits. And it helped me. That's what I'm going to call them from now on. So the first one, and I think it's a reason that it is the first one. The first fruit is love. And I've called it, it's a bit of a longer name than just love. I've called it, the greatest of these is love. Because I think the reason that I think God put it first and Paul put it first is because without love, you cannot carry on with any of the other fruits. It's like if you don't understand the unconditional love of the Father, it's very difficult for you to walk or grow or administer any of the other fruits in Galatians that Paul talks about. And love is, there's two different types of love. The first love is like a spontaneous love. All of us have experienced that. It's like a geyser that overflows. You don't need to be helped to love the person or express this type of love. It's just an overflowing geyser. It's easy. It's spontaneous. It's such an easy thing to do. You can experience it easily. It's just that type of love. It's a spontaneous type of love. It takes no effort on our part. It comes easily, and it's almost like you don't even need help from the Holy Spirit. That's the first type of love. And you can experience it today, and it's just so easy. And then the second type of love is almost like the love, it's like the act of will. And you can experience it as the same person on one day to the next day. You almost have to force yourself. And that's when you realize, oh yes, no, this is definitely a fruit of the Spirit. Because the same person can experience one type of love one day and the next type of love the next day. Today it was easy, tomorrow not so easy. And that's when you realize, oh gosh, this is the agape love that God speaks about. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Oh yes, okay, that's when I realize it's not so easy just to love. One day it was easy, the next day it's an act of will. That's why God makes it okay. It's the very first fruit, very first segment of the orange. I better get love right. The next one is joy. I've got one of those little squares, those boards in my house that, you know, you can change. It's got little letters on it that you can change the sentence or change the saying on the board. And beginning of this year, I wrote a few things on it, and joy was one of the words that I wrote on it. And I didn't just write joy, I wrote pure joy. So that's my little saying for joy as the fruit. Because joy is not like happiness, you know that. Joy is not a feeling, it's not your feeling. Joy is different to happiness. Joy is based on who God is, not on how I am feeling on the exact moment. There's three different types of joy I want to talk about when it comes to the fruit of joy. In the book of Philippians, the word joy is used 16 times. And Paul wrote that book from prison. He had been shipwrecked. He had been imprisoned. He had been whipped. He was near death. He was starving. And that's when he wrote that book. But he spoke about joy 16 times, and he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I don't think he was very happy all the time when he was writing that book. But he understood that joy was not a feeling. His joy came from incredible hardship then. Rejoice in that scripture actually comes from the Greek word charet. I'm sure I'm not saying it correctly, but it actually comes from grace, the Greek word grace. Because Paul understood right then, that he was leaning into the grace of the Father in an extremely hard time of his life. And that's where his joy came from. It wasn't coming from because he was feeling happy or great at the time. He was in extremely hard circumstance. That's where his joy came from. In Psalm 16, verse 11, David says, "You made known to me the path of life, and you fill me with joy in your presence." Again, he wasn't in great circumstances, but he understood the presence of the Lord filled him with great joy. In all circumstances, joy can bring you peace. And in 1 Peter 8, verse 9, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Again, talking about our faith as believers. We have not seen Jesus, but we understand where our salvation comes from, and we are experiencing a joy from that space. That's the fruit of joy that we're talking about there. The next fruit is the fruit of peace, and I've called it a prince of peace. That's what I've called peace. Again, we're talking, the story that I want to talk about there is when the disciples are on the boat in the middle of the storm, and Jesus is sleeping. He is the prince of peace in that moment. The disciples are in an absolute turmoil. Their lives are tossed. They are tossed back and forward. They are in the middle of a storm, and right then and there, they need peace beyond anything else. But what he wants them to understand there, he does want them to understand peace, but more than anything, he wants them to understand trust. They need to trust him. He wants them to understand their relationship with him is based on trusting. It's based on peace. It's based on a reliance of him. "Peace I leave with you, peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled again. Do not be afraid," is what he says to them. He is the prince of peace, that fruit. The fruit of patience, I've called it long-suffering patience. Some translations call it forbearance. "Bearing trials without complaint, waiting calmly with hope and trust, drawing on the character of God." So counter to the fast-paced world, patience. Maybe one of the fruits that all of us suffer with. Waiting, standing at the end, going into your Checkers or your Spa or your whatever your shop is, getting to the counter and thinking, which is the fastest queue? Do any of you do that? No, you all just say, "Well, I don't mind. I'm never in a rush." Going into the toll gate thinking, okay, which is the fastest queue? Don't wait. None of you do that, of course. Patience, one of the hardest things for all of us. Patient with the promises of God. Patient with people. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger," it says in Psalm 103, "abounding in love. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, and he will help us grow in patience for others." Fruit of kindness. I've called this Dr. Kindness. How amazing are these facts? Science has proven that a simple act of kindness increases self-esteem, empathy and compassion. Research also shows that when we practice kindness regularly, it can also decrease our blood pressure and cortisol. Additionally, it boosts serotonin and dopamine, giving us feelings of satisfaction and well-being, as well as releasing endorphins. Finally, when we choose kindness, it helps us stay connected with others, causing less loneliness and more community. It's basically like going to see your doctor. So I've called it Dr. Kindness. Colossians 3 verse 12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and peace." And that beautiful scripture that says, "Kindness of God leads to repentance." Showing kindness might lead people to their salvation. And then the fruit of goodness. I've said evident goodness is what I've called goodness. Everybody strives to be a good person, but when you've experienced the goodness of God in your life, you cannot help but pass it on to others around you. Why would you not want to share it? You want to shine your light to others so that they know. Living your life for Jesus and his goodness begins to show in others, and you want to pass it on. The fruit of faithfulness, I've just called it He is. We live in a world where faithfulness is almost like a swear word. There's so much unfaithfulness around us, from spouses to workers to friendship. But one of the things we know is that God is faithful to us. We are so desperate for Him to be faithful to us. Why can't we be faithful to those around us? He can't help but be faithful. He is consistent, He is devoted and loyal to us. If we keep our eyes on Him, He will help us remain faithful. The fruit of gentleness, I've called it Sir Gentleness. How lovely is this? When I was studying on gentleness, not sure if any of you watch any of the Marvel movies, maybe, good or bad, I'm not sure. Captain America, when he was asking the doctor why he was chosen to be Captain America, the doctor said, "Because the strong man who has known power all his life may lose respect for that power. But a weak man knows the value of strength and knows compassion." Gentleness can often be seen as a sign of weakness. But to be mild and to express power with care or in a reserved way is the balance between gentleness and strength. So whenever I think of gentleness, I'm going to just think of Captain America, because he was such a gentleman. Jesus is your ultimate gentle giant. He had incredible strength, but he was able to stretch down and be gentle to the people below him. And finally, your fruit of self-control. Somebody said this should actually be the first fruit. Because if you lose your self-control, you actually can't practice any of the other fruit. We're living in a life that is dominated by the spirit and not the flesh. It discredits so many of the other fruit. In a time when everybody is crying for freedom, we're in a time where we've been enslaved, actually, by the freedom that we're so desperately crying for. To live a life of self-control is actually to be completely free. And actually, to live a life of self-control is to live a life for others, dying to self, living for others. If we're not living a life of self-control, we disqualify ourselves for speaking into other people's lives. So how do we go forward, friends? Shannon Kenny, is she here today? No. Shannon Kenny, oh, is she? Shannon did such an amazing devotion a while ago, and I wrote it down because I thought, oh, I'm going to use this somewhere. She wrote about a capsule wardrobe. And I don't know if maybe the ladies will know what that is, But a capsule wardrobe is a basic wardrobe. It's a basic wardrobe that I think every woman would just love to have. It's like your basics. So you would end up having a basic three black skirts, three black pants, three, or whatever your basic colors are. It's your capsule wardrobe. And then you'd have one or two little pop colors in it. So it's easy to shop. It's easy when you travel. It's just easy when you get up in the morning. It's called your capsule wardrobe. And she did a beautiful devotion on it. And so going forward, there's a beautiful scripture in Colossians 3, verse 12, that says, now that you're dressed, I've got these scriptures, if you would love to put them up for me. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with a label on it. What it says in Colossians 3 verse 12. And it's talking about how we are made new. We're not supposed to live in the old way of life. Remember that flesh man? We're supposed to put everything to death of the flesh. We're not supposed to be controlled by the flesh. Remember, we're fattening up that spirit man who's looking a little skinny. We want our spirit man to be fat. We want him to be so fat that he is the one who's controlling us. And we're putting on a new wardrobe. Look at that beautiful scripture in Romans 13. It tells us to clothe ourselves with Jesus and to not even think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Every day we put on Jesus and we obey the Spirit's leading. Basically, ignore our flesh. It's all about where we look and what we look to for satisfaction. We literally become transformed into more like Jesus every day. No more excuses for weak character, but rather asking the Holy Spirit to shape and mold us to produce better fruit. I hope that's encouraged you. I hope you've realized that the fruit of the Spirit is not for kids' ministry. The fruit of the Spirit is for us, living and breathing Christians. And I want my spirit man, if you could just put those last two slides up, just flick between them. I want to be standing, worshiping like that. So my spirit man is fully alive and in control of me. Fully alive and looking healthy. And controlling me 100%. I wonder if you can all stand. So Lord, we just thank you that we get to display God in our lives every single day. And we want our fruit to be healthy. We want our fruit to, as that scripture said, we would be, you will recognize them by their fruits. And we just pray, Father, that when people recognize our fruits, they would see you, Lord. And if some of our fruit has been rotting a little, and if some of us have been taking different fruits out of the bowl, Lord, I pray, Father, that we would put the fruit back in the bowl and realize that you are producing in us healthy, beautiful fruit of the Spirit. And we would be able to stand with our arms stretched wide, worshiping you, full of your presence, going into the world, representing you well, Lord, with healthy spirit men, fully formed in us, as we go out into the world and represent you. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.